The Three Little Pigs. Once there were three little pigs who grew up and left their mother to find homes for themselves. The first pig set out, and before long he met a man with a bundle of straw.
"Please, man," said the pig, "will you let me have that bundle of straw to build my house?"
"Yes, here, take it," said the kind man.
The little pig was very pleased and at once built himself a house of straw. He had hardly moved in when a wolf came walking by, and, seeing the new house, knocked on the door.
"Little pig, little pig," he said, "open up the door and let me in."
Now the little pig's mother had warned him about strangers, so he said,
"No, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I'll not let you in."
"Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house down," cried the wolf.
But the little pig went on saying,
"No, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I'll not let you in."
So the old wolf huffed, and he puffed, and he blew the house down, and the little pig ran fast as he could back to his mother's house. The second little pig said goodbye to his mother and set out. Before long, he met a man with a bundle of sticks.
"Please, man," he said, "will you let me have that bundle of sticks to build my house?"
"Yes, you can have it. Here it is," said the kind man.
So the second little pig was very pleased and used the sticks to build himself a house. He had hardly moved in when the wolf came walking by and knocked at the door.
"Little pig, little pig," he said, "open up your door and let me in."
Now the second little pig remembered what his mother had told him, so he too said,
"No, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I'll not let you in."
"Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house down," cried the wolf.
But the little pig went on saying,
"No, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I'll not let you in."
So again, the old wolf huffed, and he puffed. And he huffed, and he puffed. This time it was much harder work. But finally, down came the house, and the second little pig had to run as fast as he could back to his mother's house. Then, last of all, the third little pig set out and met a man with a load of bricks.
"Please, man," he said, "will you let me have that load of bricks to build my house?"
"Yes, here they are, all for you," said the kind man.
The third little pig was very pleased and built himself a brick house. Again the wolf came along, and again he said,
"Little pig, little pig, open your door and let me in."
But, like his brothers, the third little pig said,
"No, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I'll not let you in."
"Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house down," cried the wolf.
And when the third little pig wouldn't open the door, he huffed, and he puffed, and he huffed, and he puffed. Then he tried again, but the brick house was so strong that he could not blow it down. This made the wolf so angry that he jumped onto the roof of the little brick house and roared down the chimney,
"I'm coming down to eat you up!"
The little pig had put a pot of boiling water on the fire, and now he took off the lid. Down the chimney tumbled the wolf, and splash, he fell right into the pot. Quickly, the little pig banged on the cover and boiled up the old wolf for his dinner. And so the clever little pig lived happily ever after. Rumpelstiltskin. One day, a king was riding through a village in his kingdom when he heard a woman singing,
"My daughter has burned 5 cakes today, my daughter has burned 5 cakes today."
It was the miller's wife, who was cross with her daughter for being so careless. The king stopped as he wanted to hear her song again. The miller's wife hoped to impress the king, so she sang,
"My daughter has spun fine gold today, my daughter has spun fine gold today."
And she boasted that her daughter could spin straw into gold thread. The king was greatly impressed.
"If your daughter will spin for me in my palace, I'll give her many presents. I might even make her my queen, he announced.
What a wonderful chance,
muttered the miller's wife under her breath.
We'll all be rich.
Then out loud she said,
My daughter will be honored, your majesty.
The king took the girl back to the palace. He ordered a spinning wheel to be placed in a room filled with straw.
Spin this into gold by the morning, or you will be punished, he commanded.
Left alone, the poor girl wept bitterly. She could not spin straw into gold as her mother had boasted, and she could not escape as the king had locked the door firmly behind him. Suddenly, a little man appeared from nowhere. He had a small, pointed face and wore elfin clothes in green and brown.
What will you give me, pretty girl, if I spin this straw into gold for you?
He asked.
I will give you my necklace, replied the girl, if you really can help me. Yet how can anyone do this task?
At once the little man sat down by the spinning wheel. Singing strange songs, he spun all the straw into fine gold thread. Then, taking the girl's necklace, with a skip and a hop and a stomp of his foot, he disappeared. When the king unlocked the room the next morning, he was astonished and delighted to see the skeins of gold thread. He sent delicious food to the miller's girl, but that evening he took her to another room with an even bigger pile of straw and a spinning wheel.
Now spin this into gold, he ordered, and I shall reward you well, but if you fail, I shall punish you.
He walked out, locking the miller's daughter in behind him. The poor girl stared at the straw and the spinning wheel.
What can I do now? She cried. I cannot turn straw into gold, and the king will punish me if I fail.
Suddenly the same little man in elfin clothes stood before her.
What will you give me this time if I spin your gold for you?
I'll give you my bracelet, said the miller's girl,
for she had nothing else to offer. At once the little man set the spinning wheel whirring. Singing his weird songs, he quickly turned the straw into golden thread. Before dawn, he had finished, and snatching her bracelet, he was gone, with a skip and a hop and a stamp of his foot. The king was delighted the next morning, and sent pretty clothes and good food up to the girl as a reward.
If this girl can really spin gold from straw, he thought greedily, I shall always be rich if I make her my wife. But in case there is some trick, I will try her once more.
So the third night the king took the miller's girl into another room with an even greater pile of straw and a spinning wheel.
Spin this into gold, he commanded. If you succeed, I shall marry you, and you shall be queen. If you fail, you will be punished.
Once more, as the girl wept bitterly before the pile of straw and the spinning wheel, the little man appeared from nowhere.
I see you need my help again, he said. How will you reward me this time if I help you?
I have nothing to give, the miller's daughter said sadly. Perhaps you should just go and leave me to my fate.
Ah, said the little man, but if the straw is spun into gold tonight, you will become the queen. Will you promise to give me your first child when it is born?
Yes, yes, cried the girl.
When this time came, she was sure she could save her child somehow. So the little man sat and twirled the spinning wheel, beating his foot on the floor and singing his strange songs. Then, with a skip and a hop and a stamp of his foot, once more he was gone. The next day the king was delighted to see the gold spun from the huge pile of straw, and he kept his promise. The miller's daughter became his wife and queen. And as queen, the miller's daughter forgot all about her promise to the little man. About a year later, a fine son was born, and she was horrified when one day the little man appeared.
I have come to claim the child you promised me,
he said, stamping his foot as he spoke. The queen pleaded with him to release her from the promise.
Take my jewels and all this gold, she begged. Only leave my little son.
The little man saw her tears and said,
Very well. You have 3 days in which to guess my name. You may have 3 guesses each night. If you fail on the third night, the baby is mine.
Then he vanished. The queen sent for all her servants and asked them to go throughout the kingdom, asking if anyone had heard of the little man and if they knew his name. The first night the little man came, she tried some unusual names.
Is it Casper?
She asked.
No,
he said, and stamped his foot in delight.
Is it Belshazzar?
No,
he said, as he stamped his foot again.
Is it Melchior?
No,
he cried. He stamped his foot and disappeared. The next evening, the queen thought she would try some everyday names. So when he appeared, she asked,
Is your name John?
No,
he said with his usual stamp.
Is it Michael? Is it James?
No, no,
he cried, stamping his foot each time. Then with a hop and a skip, triumphantly he disappeared. The next day the queen was very sad, for she could not see how she could guess the little man's name. She felt sure she would lose her baby that night. The palace servants came back without any news, except for one who returned to the palace towards the end of the day. He went straight to the queen and told her that at the very edge of the kingdom, under the mountains, he had seen a little man singing as he danced around a fire.
What did he sing?
Asked the queen breathlessly.
Today I brew, tomorrow I bake, next day the queen's child I'll take. How glad I am that nobody knows, my name is Rumpelstiltskin.
The queen clapped her hands with joy and rewarded the servant. That night the little man appeared and asked if she had guessed his name.
Is it Ichabod?
No!
He cried with pleasure as he stamped his feet.
Is it Carl?
No!
He shouted as he laughed and stamped his foot.
Is it...
The queen hesitated.
Is it Rumpelstiltskin?
Now it was the queen's turn to laugh. The little man stamped his foot so hard it went through the floor. He disappeared in a flash and was never seen again.